piept een beetje. Ja.
That's a few messages first. A few technical messages first. If people are smoking outside, please smoke on the roof terrace and don't drop off your cigarette butts on the floor, but clean them. And if you want to order food, there's ordering of wok, whatever that's in English. A stir fry and pizza being ordered in that corner after the talks at the round table. Not by those people, but at that table. By Fubar, Mark, and Ewart. So after the talks. So that will be at about 18:10. 10 past 6. Yes, if you order. But there's like organized, there are two options, but there are more options than that. Yeah. And another thing, if any of the speakers, I mean, the talks have been recorded. Is there any speakers who have a problem with their talks being used or any problems at all? Go to GMC Kuhn at the recording desk and he'll solve the problems. So we have Willem.
Hello. Now I'm going to talk about why I sometimes program Perl and later switch to C++. And more recently, C++ OX, which has more features, as you may know. Mouse is in the wrong window. I'm using Perl in various ways. Sometimes I'm just playing in my editor, piping the whole thing through Perl, adding stuff at the end with __ data, and just trying to massage this data in a way with a little Perl attached to it. Or in Vim, you can also do Perl do with simple short expressions and just have your Vim put your whole buffer through Perl. When writing larger stuff, I start writing my prototypes and experimental stuff in Perl. And for instance, the Windows CE stuff, I also do in C++ sometimes. Then there are stuff that I always do in Perl, like when I do some web interaction. I often use LWP user agents, for which I don't have I don't know of any nice C library to do something as easy as it, you can do it in Perl, or write web applications, for instance. One of the reasons to use Perl that's listed very often is that it's portable, but for me personally, that's hardly ever really an issue. So reasons why I sometimes switch to C++ is when I start running out of memory with Perl, which you can do, for instance, with the ROM parsing scripts. The most recent phones, the ROMs are now 250 megabytes. So you have to be careful to only keep one copy of the string in memory because it's very easy to run out of memory suddenly. Then things start getting slow, especially when I'm using Perl in my VMware, which is probably also due to how VMware handles small file reads and writes. But still, that's an issue then with Perl. If you want to write very stable software, the compiler warnings from a C++ compiler are usually better. Is that funny? They can be more confusing.
Try to use a few templates.
Yeah. I know. Look, where is the slide? Here, this one.
Yeah.
Yes. So I know that. But they do warn you a lot more. So the other obvious reason, if you use C++, you don't have to install Perl. And if you want to send your program to a customer who is very clueless about anything in a with software, it's better to just send them a single executable than tell them you have to download active Perl, after staked Perl or something. I had another specific problem that my Mac suddenly became 64 bits and I wanted to run 32-bit code, and this was not problem not possible, and sometimes my code needs to run on the phones itself, and they're just not resourceful enough to actually run Perl. I think there is a Perl for Windows CE, but it's not very practical. How can you use lots of Perl programming constructs in C++? So there's in Perl you have memory management, which is very easy. You don't have to really have to manage memory. You have stuff like hashes, arrays, or anonymous hashes. These are all language features that are nice to have in Perl. And how can you use those in C++? For memory management, there's just some tips. If you follow them, memory management becomes quite easy. I usually pass my args as a const reference and return copies in case of strings. So if you do that, you let the compiler create temporary objects when it thinks it's necessary, and you don't worry at all about these copies existing or not. Another thing is you don't store references in, for instance, a vector or a map. This will just get you into trouble at some point of time, because you have to remember when the object that the reference was pointing to still exists or not. Another thing is you can use boost, shared pointer. So people know program C++ here, actually, and using boost also. So just a few, okay. I used boost a lot in my programs. The shared pointers, they're reference counted smart pointers, and if you use them in the right places, things become basically just as easy as in Perl. It's just a little bit more typing. For hashes, you can use the standard map, which was in the standard template library. There's now also the unordered map, which behaves more like a Perl hash. It's about twice as fast if you add lots of data to it. One advantage of the normal map is that it's ordered, and you can search for things that are near your key instead of only exact matches, which is something you don't have in Perl. And in some cases, I actually missed this feature. But I saw on cPandar a few attempts to actually have an ordered map, but none seem. I look at the version numbers in cPen and it's 0.0.1, and then I think this is just an attempt at this module and not really working, maybe. So if you're using hashes here on the left, there's how you do it in Perl, and on the right, you see how it's doing the same thing in C++. So most are just very trivial. Very simple. Some are a bit more verbose, like testing for existence is a bit more typing. Elements in hashes or maps in C++ also gets created automatically as long as you have a default constructor of your object. for arrays, there's a SCD vector which you can use as an array, which also automatically manages its memory and frees objects when they're no longer needed. One thing is you should take care not to reference any objects that don't exist, because you'll just either crash, or if you enabled all warnings, you may have a warning. You can do stuff like this. Is definitely a lot more typing in C++. I made an example here of how to create an array slice. So you can either write a function yourself that does this and create a copy, or you just use the pairs of iterator to the first and the last and use those. Then you're actually referencing the original array. I was wondering, if you do this in Perl, do you reference the original array? Okay, so you changed the elements in the original one. Okay, I actually didn't know. In the new latest C++ OX, you have initializer lists, which make initializing objects much easier. In just normal C++, you had to write explicitly insert object with this key into the map. And now you can, it looks basically like Perl. Then you have anonymous subroutines or lambda functions, which is also a feature of the C++ OX, where you can specify what variables it should take in its context. So that's basically the closure that gets passed to this function. And
that should be var.cscan.
What? This x? Oh, yes. I only changed this one to var to make it look like the Perl one, but I forgot the other one. Yes. This is a very practical addition to C++ OX. I use it a lot since it's there. Regexes, there's a Boost library for that. It's, as you can see, a lot more verbose. But it works. The syntax is exactly the same as in Perl of the regexes, except for...
If you talk about 0x, this is going to be 0x as well.
Ah, probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
It
cannot?
No,
you can. If I read the documentation, it says this is using the Perl syntax for regexes, so...
Which version of Perl?
Yeah.
Yeah. What C++ doesn't have is one organized library of searchable all modules. There's Boost, which has about 105 libraries, and of course there's Google, which has zillion libraries. But so it doesn't compare to CPAN in amount of stuff you can find there, but it's very well tested, the Boost stuff, so there's sort of a review committee which actually reviews what stuff that goes into it. There were some remarks that actually don't really fit in the thing. Some I encountered that I cannot use unpack with 64-bit ints, which I found annoying. In C++, you have portability issues too, you know. So doing programming in C++ is not very easy, because there's an error in this little program, and it gives you a really large error message, and that's because I forgot to include. Let's see, I can zoom it. So. These template error messages are quite huge. And in GCC 4.5, actually, the error message is much shorter. It actually states that there's something wrong with string. So you can use C++ OX by specifying this in your command line, or use Microsoft Visual C10. But I noticed that it is much more complete in GCC. That's the same camel again, looking the other way. So, questions?
I wonder what the 0x stands for.
Originally they hoped it would be ready somewhere in the 2000 until 2009, but so they may change it to 1x or.
This is
Bjarne Strustrup.
It's just an expectation gone bad.
Yeah. Sort of with Perl 6. Similar.
Call it C++ Christmas or something. The standard is supposed to be finalized this year. So the final draft standard is out. It's a question of voting. But this year means this year or 2011?
This year.
2011.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Not like Christmas.
This year.
Before Christmas.
Christmas this year.
Any more questions?
No more questions? Okay, thank you. We have one more speaker before the lightning talks.